Passerine, written and recorded by Anne Lee. Admittedly, going outside to see a display of skewered creatures on my thorn bush does put a bit of a damper on an otherwise cheerful day. I suppose a shrike has moved in. The internet says they're a type of songbird, quite cute looking in fact, a gray and white body with a streak of black over their eyes, like a bandit's mask. I've never seen one myself, but no other creature would create a macabre collection like this, because shrikes are perhaps best known for their hunting habits. Since they don't have strong raptor talons, they impale their prey on sharp objects in order to rip them apart. That's why shrikes are also known as butcherbirds, after all. And it seems that one has deemed my newly grown hawthorn bush as the perfect collection spot. I walk around it a bit, if only to satisfy some morbid curiosity. Occasionally, something twitches, some still-alive prey trying to escape their stake. I hear wing beats and go back into my house. I wouldn't want to scare the bird away. But when I look outside, it's just a blue jay, landing on the feeder I have hanging from a nearby tree. I watch it swallow a sunflower seed before flying off. The rest of the day passes as normal. I'm a software engineer, so I work from home, and my desk is next to my yard. The birdsong makes nice background noise. I glance outside occasionally, but I never catch a glimpse of the shrike. It's not the strangest thing. Apparently, shrikes are pretty solitary and reclusive. I see other birds often enough. Robins and sparrows and crows. Blue jays, cardinals, even a woodpecker once in a while. And over the course of the week, the shrike's collection grows. More grasshoppers and dragonflies and lizards join their deceased brethren. I wonder if it is looking for a mate. I've read that male shrikes often store their prey like this to impress females. I haven't noticed any other bushes being used as a shrike's food storage, but if one found its way here, another is bound to come eventually. It's interesting having a new bird around. I like birds, that's why I have feeders out, as well as a bird bath. When I was a child, I used to beg my parents for one as a pet. They never gave in, but I've come to terms with the fact that they were probably right to hold me back. I'm not the best at taking care of things, which is why I purchased a hawthorn bush in the first place. There's supposed to be more drought resistance once they've settled in, and I admit, I've already forgotten to water it a few times. But it seems to be doing alright, and from the way the new shrike has been frequenting the place, it can't be all too bad. By now, I've learned to identify most of the common birds by their calls, so the shrike's call stands out from the rest. It's surprisingly soft, more of a quiet cheep than anything else. It's quite cute, especially considering the fact that this is a bird that creates shish kebabs out of its prey. The weeks pass into a month, and I still haven't seen the shrike. But the stash keeps growing. Oddly enough, I feel like I've rarely seen any prey gone, either. Then again, hawthorns only have so many brambles, so the shrike must be eating some prey to make space. It's another bright sunny day when I notice the shrike's newest catch. A whole sparrow, eyes still wide open in death, beak gaping. There's feathers torn off, likely from a struggle. When I look closer, I can still see blood speckled among its feathers, darker red among tawny brown. The spike goes straight through its chest. That is a little unnerving to see, I admit. I've heard about shrikes hunting other birds, of course. I'm pretty sure I saw a dead chick on those thorns once. But a full adult bird, feathers and all? They really are vicious. The next is a chickadee. I'm starting to wonder if maybe I should stop putting birdseed in my feeder. Maybe I'm leading birds to their death. But at the same time, I can't help but find it fascinating. This tiny bird hunts other animals its size. It's amazing. At the same time, my boss sends our team a new project, and my thoughts on the bird feeder are quickly shelved as I focus on working instead. I guess my life is pretty boring, all things considered. I have a decently paying job, a house to be in, an all-around stable life. I know it's what a lot of people envy, and I can't say I have many complaints, but, well, the boredom does get to a person eventually. Occasionally, I go out and eat dinner at a restaurant, and even more occasionally, a friend comes over. But other than that, my existence is pretty monotonous. Wake up at 9 o'clock sharp, make myself a coffee, maybe grab a granola bar, and start working. Take a 1-hour break for lunch, head outside for some fresh air, then come back and work until there's some general consensus on the team that we're done for the day. Most of the time, it's a standard 9-to-5 job, but there's been times when work goes well into the early AMs. And with this new project, our team ends up working pretty late hours. I'm used to sleeping late, but I can't say I like staying up just to work. It's during one late night call when I hear the sounds of a scuffle. I usually close my curtains once the sun starts setting, but I pull one open and glance outside. It's too dark to see much, but I make out vague shapes rolling on the ground. It almost sounds like a blue jay screeching, although I'm pretty sure blue jays sleep at night. Unless a fox or some other predator came across one as easy prey. Maybe an owl? I've never seen or heard one around, although I suppose I wouldn't expect to see one anyway. They're stealth predators for a reason. I'm about to go outside and look when one of my coworkers' voice startles me out of my watching. Arden, you there? They must have asked me a question. Yes, sorry. I sit back down. Can you repeat what you said? I head to bed at 3 a.m. When I close my eyes, I can almost see the shrike, blood trickling down its hooked beak as it stands triumphantly over its meal. The next day, I find an impaled blue jay. It's in much worse shape than the sparrow. There's patches of missing feathers, showing raw and exposed skin, especially around the neck, where it looks like something had taken a large bite out of it. When I lean in close, I catch a glimpse of white, bones sticking out from the torn neck. I can already smell the start of decay. I lean back. I go inside and look up shrikes again. They're supposed to be daytime birds. But maybe the jay was left by the owl. Maybe the shrike just picked it up. They do occasionally eat roadkill, so this is probably similar. Part of me wonders if I should do something about this. Maybe remove the dead prey, or cut down the bush. But the other part of me is still too curious. I want to see the bird behind this. As morbid as it sounds, I want to see a kill in action. It's been so long since anything has really caught my attention, and I would feel a little bad ruining an animal's food storage. So I leave the bush as is. There are less birds around my yard now, I notice later on. Even with my window open, there is barely any birdsong. What I mostly hear are quiet cheeps. I continue to pay attention to the shrike's bush, though. It's the closest thing I have to an interest right now, as off-putting as it probably sounds. I know I used to have hobbies. I still have some other old drawings and paintings from years ago, maybe some knitting needles and yarn stored in a drawer somewhere. But over time, I just couldn't really get myself to finish them. I think I used to love art, until I decided to follow the more prospective tech opportunities. I wonder where my art stuff is now. I'm sure it's still in my house somewhere. I think I would have remembered throwing it out. Actually, as I ponder it, I recall having drawn many birds. My thoughts are interrupted by the shriek of a crow. I glance outside, and my gaze focuses on the blur of black in the trees. There's something grabbing onto the crow by its neck and shaking it, shaking hard. The crow is flapping hard, panicked caws filling the air, but I hear the snap that rings out through the yard. The crow goes limp. A few days later, Sandra comes over. I greet her outside, but her eyes immediately look elsewhere and she recoils. "What is that?" she exclaims. "Hmm?" I follow my friend's line of sight and see the shrike's bush. "Oh, that. It's just a shrike. Don't worry about it." Right, she looks at me. Do you not smell it? Smell? I sniff the air. Smell what? The rot? She covers her nose and mouth. No? Then again, I have been living near it. Maybe I've just gotten used to it. It should probably be a little worrying, but I can't really find myself to care. I guess that makes sense, Sandra says, despite sounding a little hesitant. Still, she meets my gaze and gives me a smile, holding up a bag. Let's go inside, then. This cake won't bake itself. Baking. It's not something I really do on my own, but my kitchen is more spacious than Sandra's, so she often comes over to use it. I don't mind, anyway. She always gives me some of the baked goods afterwards, and sometimes I help with the baking. I'm decent at following instructions, if nothing else. So what is a shrike, anyway? She asks as she mixes cake batter, flicking a bit off her nail, painted bright blue. I explained the bird, its appearance, its habits, the like. It moved in a month ago, I think? I guess my thornbush makes a good storage area. You're saying a bird did that? Sandra says incredulously. Yeah? A bird. They're also known as butcherbirds, I add. That's horrifying. I mean, I think it's kind of cool, I shrug. And it's just how they are. We can't change that. Sandra just gives me a look. I will never understand your fascinations. I didn't ask you to, I retort, although there's no bite in my reply. This is our friendly banter. The baking goes smoothly, up until we put the cake into the oven. Then there's another squawk from outside, and we both run to the window, me more interested than her. It sounds like it's coming from above us. Maybe the roof? I crane my neck and try to look up, but there's really not much to see. Then a hawk falls out of the sky. Blood trickles from its torn neck, seeping into the ground. One of its wings is bent out of shape, a bone sticking right out of its skin. Sandra makes a retching sound from beside me, but I keep watching. This might be my chance to finally see the shrike. Nothing. The dead hawk continues lying there, still and silent. The leaves rustle, and the wind ruffles its feathers. There is no other movement. I'm going to go outside and check, I say. I think I've lost my appetite, Sandra murmurs. You can have the cake. I'm going to leave. I nod absentmindedly and go outside. It takes me no more than a minute to exit my house and walk out. It takes the shrike less than a minute to pierce the hawk through a thorn and vanish. You should get rid of that bush soon, though, Sandra says as she passes me on her way out. Her voice grows softer. Arden, I'm telling you this as a friend. That bush is scary to look at. Eventually, I say vaguely. I don't want to anger the shrike, though. It's just a bird, Sandra says. I frown. No bird is just a bird. But Sandra has always been pretty stubborn, and I know there's really no stopping her if she decides to do something drastic. Still, Sandra only inspects the bush once more. I turn around to head back into my house when... Ow! I turn around. Sandra clutches a bleeding finger. A dead sparrow lies on the ground. Evidently, it had fallen off. Sorry, I leaned too close and the thorn pricked me. I must have knocked the sparrow off. There's a feeling of wrongness that settles in me, looking at that dead sparrow on the ground. It's not supposed to be there. I pick it up, ignoring Sandra's disgusted sound, and pierce it back through the thorn. Bye, I say. I'm back inside when I hear the scream. I can't make myself go outside. There is a finger on the hawthorn bush. The nail is painted with bright blue nail polish. I sit down next to the bush. I'm going to see this shrike. The thorns poke at my skin when I accidentally lean against the bush, but I don't mind. I may as well make myself comfortable as I watch, after all. It's silent outside now. Where are you? I murmur as I stare into the sky. A thorn pierces through my arm, but I don't move. I blink, close my eyes for a brief second, and a dead squirrel falls onto my lap. It's been a while since the prey wasn't a bird, I notice. I wonder if the shrike is running out of food. But it shouldn't be, not when this bush is still so full of meat. There is a thorn resting against my neck. There is a quiet sheep. It is bright daylight, and I wonder if my bush is big enough to store a human.